Amen. Thanks, Brother Calvin. Take your Bibles this morning, Titus and chapter number 2, a small book found in the New Testament of your Scripture. Titus and chapter number 2 this morning. And we are continuing in our series, Parenting with Purpose. Parenting with Purpose. And this is week number 4. We just started the beginning of this month, and we're excited for what God is doing in our lives and in our homes through this series. And appreciate you being here and being faithful throughout the series. When we met on April the 7th, we said, hey, let's commit to being here every Sunday of the series. And by way of curiosity, how many would say, Brother Rule, I've been here, this is Sunday number 4 of this series, I've been here all 4 Sundays now of this series. Would you just raise your hand wherever you are? And that's great. And a good number have been here all 4. And I want to encourage you, even if you're just jumping in the series today, to say, all right, from this day forward, we're going to be here and be a part of it. And strive to learn, and then to add what we're learning to our homes. Titus chapter number 2, we've studied this passage in studying about marriage, which we will again later this year, but let's look at it from this context this morning, beginning in verse number 3. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says, the age of women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness. Now, we've already discovered that we don't have any aged women in our class. This is speaking of elderly women. We have just younger women, all right? So this is not you, but the Bible says of them, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. Now, that's our class, all right? So the aged women, those are in other rooms in the building. Then the young women, that's this class, okay? So the younger women are to be taught by the older women to what? To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, we're not going to get off into what all this verse is talking about and pertaining to marriage, as we've studied in detail before. When you cross-reference Ephesians 5 with this text, where a lady really is made to love, it's natural for her to give agape love, unconditional love. But here, the Lord, through the leading of His Spirit, reminds ladies that even though you're loving, sometimes you just need to be nice. And He's teaching them these types of things. And we won't learn that today, ladies. Don't get nervous. But He says to love your husbands and to love your children. And there is a command, there is an admonishment given that love is to be given to our children. And today we're going to talk about the most important aspect of raising children, of parenting, and that is expressing loving support. Expressing loving support. There has to be, we talked about, there has to be an open spirit if we're going to accomplish what we need to accomplish. Then we took a couple of weeks to really study how we're going to create the atmosphere in the home that we should have in order to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And now we want to look at expressing this loving support. How can we express this to our children? And then this is building one on another. Next week we'll look into then how do we set the rules and the standards and the expectations for our home, and how do we enforce those things with our children that God has given to you and I. And it's not an easy task, parenting. And sometimes when you think you're doing a good job and then something happens and you're reminded, boy, we've got so much further to go. Like the story of Robert and Ann, a father and mother in Mississippi. And they were teaching their 3-year-old son the verse Psalm 56:3, which says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And they were teaching him the purpose of this verse and helping him to commit it to memory. Well, one stormy night, the lightning flashed across the sky and the thunder boomed in the air, and the electricity in their home was shut off and went out. And their little son, Mark, yelled from the other end of the house, it's okay, Mommy and Daddy, I'm not afraid. And as they were trying to feel around the dark to find a candle or a flashlight or something of that nature, Mom was just so proud of the fact that he had remembered his verse. And in this moment when he could be afraid, he was trusting in the Lord. And so she said to her son, Mark, Mark, why is it that you're not afraid? Expecting him to quote that verse and to relay to her the truth that he had learned. And he said, oh, Mommy, it's because I found my flashlight. And here they were expecting him to expound this biblical truth, and it wasn't that at all. And sometimes we'll invest in our kids, and we'll expect this is going to happen, and then nothing like that happens. And we think, did they not hear anything we said? Have they not been listening, or what's been happening? And we want to continue to grow in our ability and training our children. And in today's lesson, we're going to learn this important aspect of expressing loving support, and specifically several ways of how we can express this loving support, which will help us in our homes to build stronger relationships, and to give our children a sense of value. You understand that all of our children are valuable. They're a gift to you and I from the Lord. God loves them very much. God loves them so much that He gave His Son's life for them. So our children are very valuable to God and should be very valuable to you and I. And our perspective should be that our children are God's gift to us from Him. And the way that we parent and train and care for those children is our gift back to God. We're preparing their lives to be lived for His honor and His glory. So that's going to take loving support. How can you and I express that to them? First of all, loving support can be expressed through unconditional commitment. Through unconditional commitment. And you do have a student handout in your bulletin. I want to encourage you to use that and follow along so you've got something maybe to kind of take home even throughout the week. But one of the most important ways that you and I can express warmth and loving support to our children is to make an unconditional commitment to them. It's the kind of commitment to our children that says, you are important to me today and tomorrow and forever. I love you today, tomorrow, and forever, no matter what happens. Now, will our children disappoint us? Absolutely. Did you and I ever disappoint our parents? Will our children break our hearts? Maybe. We don't know what the future is going to hold. I believe our children will have an opportunity to live for Christ in a day when it is very unpopular to do so. And I think the vast majority of the next generation are not going to make it unless there is a solid home with some good training. The things of God, the things of God's Word, those things which are right, they're becoming less popular by the day. It is so easy to go with the flow. It is so easy to take your banner down and move with the crowd. That is the easy thing to do. It is far more difficult to stand for truth. It's far more difficult in the face of adversity and opposition to do what is right. And we are training a generation. They're going to have a phenomenal opportunity to stand out for God. But they're going to need our loving support. And they're going to need our training. And they're going to need our help and our investment and our equipping in their lives. So it must begin with this unconditional commitment. And one of the books that I read preparing for this series, the author had a plaque made and he hung it above the door coming into the home so that every time his wife and his children would exit the home, they would see this plaque. And he said, to my wife and children, and he named them by name. So for me, it was to Susanna, Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph, an assurance of my lifetime commitment to you. And here, every time his family exited their home, they were reminded of husband's or father's lifetime commitment to you. Now, I'm not saying you have to leave here this morning and make a plaque and put it above your door, but you should leave here this morning determined, my family's going to know I'm committed to them. By the way, one of the greatest things you can do for your children is have a strong marriage. And one of the healthiest things for a marriage is to have commitment. Why? Well, because the Bible says, what God hath put together, let no man put asunder. That includes you and I. I can't put my marriage asunder if God put it together. If I vowed, I do, till death do us part before God, then that's exactly what I should do. I should be in that relationship till death do us part. And there needs to be an unconditional commitment. And one of the greatest things you and I can do as a father or a mother is be unconditionally committed to our spouse. Well, we're not getting along, or things aren't going well, or we're not in love like we used to. And maybe every relationship goes through phases of that from time to time. But I want to tell you something this morning. There's hope because there's God. Quitting is not the answer. Giving up is not the answer. I've never met anybody who got divorced and 5 years later said, best thing I ever did. Well, I want to tell you, Brother Rule, the best thing we ever did for our kids was get a divorce. I mean, when they look back on their childhood, it's one of their peak moments. They're so thankful that we got split up, that they went from house to house, holiday to holiday. They look back on it and say, boy, that really helped them. I've never heard that, ever. But I've heard a lot of young people say, I'm glad mom and dad stuck it out. It wasn't always easy. There was some trials. There was some difficult times, but they stuck it out. They hung in there, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful my mom and dad this year will celebrate 34 years of marriage. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to have grown up in a home that way. I'm thankful for the many families in this ministry that have set a godly example. And may you and I today say, hey, we want to have the unconditional commitment to our spouse. We want to have the unconditional commitment to our kids. And we want to tell them about it. Son or daughter, I love you. You mean so much to me. It doesn't matter. Whatever happens, I want you to know nothing you could ever do would change the fact that I love you. There needs to be an unconditional commitment. Mark Golden Boy Frazee was a professional boxer, and he told of how his parents demonstrated their commitment to him. When I was 19 years old, he said, I went through a real trial. Mark explained that some of the family resisted him and disowned him, and many of the relatives didn't even understand what was going on in his mind and in his life. But he said, my dad told me that even though what I was doing was hurting him, that I was still his son, that he would always love me, and he would be there to pick me up if I needed it. And you know what? In every life, anybody can make it through anything if they know somebody truly loves them. If somebody truly loves them. And may you and I work diligently to convince our kids they are truly loved by us. They're in a secure home where mom and dad truly love one another and are committed, and we love them and are committed to them as well. It was George W. Bush that said, my father's unconditional love made it easier for me to take risk in life and to do the right thing when it wasn't easy. Well, here's the former president of the United States that says, you know what? When I got put in some tough situations, I reflected back on the unconditional love of my father. Unconditional commitment to our children. How else can we express our loving support? Secondly, through scheduled times together. Through scheduled times together. And I have been looking forward all week to this one point right here. It's very practical. It's not, you know, real flamboyant and all of that. But to me, if we'll embrace it, it will make a huge difference in our lives and in our homes. This is a great way to express loving support to our children and to our family. And I want us to recognize, as we look at having scheduled times together, that communicating our love to our spouse and to our children, to nurture the relationships within the home, that doesn't just happen naturally. It's like the couple that's been married 10 years, but they act like they got married last week. When they're working through stuff, you're just like, wow, we haven't gotten any further down the road than that? And sometimes it's because we have experience, we have time, we've done something for a while, but the problem is we have not diligently or deliberately invested or focused on the relationship. And communicating our loving support and nurturing our relationships is not just going to happen naturally. We're going to have to work at it. We're going to have to plan it. We're going to have to schedule it. We're going to have to prepare for it. We're going to have to invest in it to make it happen. And so how can you and I schedule these times together? Well, let me give you a couple of ideas of times that these should include. All right, letter A, this should include family nights. Family nights. Now, when do you and your family have family night? All right, for the rural family, it's Monday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Okay, so we have four. Tuesday night, I'm soul winning. Wednesday night, we're in church. Sunday night, we're in church. That's the other three. So we have four family nights. Now, on those nights, we have dinner together around the table. Everybody is there. No media, no interruption. We're all there looking at each other's eyeballs and so on. Most Wednesdays, we can get dinner in before church. So we're having dinner together. Then we're going to have time together. It might be, let's go ride bikes outside. It's a beautiful time of year for those types of things. Let's go take a walk. Let's go to the park. Recently, we've gotten our kids hooked on Phase 10. I don't know how many have ever played the card game Phase 10. It's a lot of fun, and Ryan and Lydia have even beat Mom and Dad a couple times. So we're having a good time, but we're teaching them Phase 10 or Uno or, you know, just fun games where you're using your mind a little bit, you're being creative, you're having fun time together, And so we'll do things of that nature. All of our evenings, except for the two church nights, would end with what we call special times. When we have special times in our home, I'll typically go to the couch in the living room, and I'll say, it's special times, and Mariah, Lydia, and Annalena, and Joseph will come running from wherever they are in the house, and they'll come sit by me on the couch. And then we'll read from the Word of God. Currently, I personally am using the Picture Bible. My children range from age 3 to age 8, and so that's working well for us. It's 278 illustrated stories from the Word of God. It takes it chronologically from beginning to end in a storybook form. And so I'll use that, and we'll read through that. In fact, last night we read about Judas Iscariot and Jesus identifying him with the one that had the bread and the cup. And my kids had all kind of questions about that. And so that's the story we read last night. And then we'll do sometimes what we'll do, what we call questions, and Joseph will run and get his basketball, and then they'll all line up, and I'll ask them questions about what I just read. Who was it that was dipping his bread in the cup with Jesus, you know? And there's Annalene, 5, you know, it was Judas Iscariot. Great job, and I'll throw the basketball, and she'll throw it back to me. And we'll do some questions, and we'll review. Then we'll pray, and then they'll go and brush their teeth and use the restroom and go to bed and all of that. And so we'll have some family nights. Now, you may do your family nights differently. You may do them at different times. But here's a couple things I want to stress. Number one, don't let your family nights just be media intake. Okay? Yeah, we have family night 5 nights a week, Brother Rule. What do? We go have dinner, we go sit down, and we watch TV until we go to bed. Now, there may be time for that. You'd have to weigh that out. But there may be some time for that here and there, okay? For instance, my wife had a ton of ladies over yesterday, and thank you for all your work. Then she had some girls over last night, so Joseph and I said, we are getting out of here. It's girl night at the Rule House. So Joseph and I, we got out of Dodge. And I thought, man, it's NBA playoff basketball right now. I like sports. Don't get to watch a lot of it, but I enjoy following it. I said, Joseph, we need to go find some place we can watch some basketball. Well, we went to 6 restaurants, and there's no place in this town you can go watch some basketball and have a meal and maybe be in a decent area. And so we were having all kinds of problems finding one. And finally, we found Geno's down here on Challenger and off of Jerry, whatever it is. And they were so kind, and they got us right by television, and they turned it up so we could actually hear it, you know. And we got some pizza, and we were in heaven then, you know. And we were watching the Thunder and the Rockets. And, of course, we left, and they were up by 25, and then we found out they won by 2. So it was a great game that we didn't get to see. But anyway, so Joseph and I, but we had some father-son time, and we were having a ball and making a memory, you know, and eating pizza and watching some basketball. And so that fit into what I was doing. But that would be on the low end. And so you want to just kind of temper your media involvement. And then you want to make sure you're planning family nights. One of the things that are going to frustrate family nights, if it's like, okay, it's family night, what do you want to do? Now, ladies, sometimes you struggle with making these types of decisions. Where would you like to eat? You know, it'd be great if they named a restaurant someplace else, you know, because, honey, where would you like to eat? I don't know. Let's eat here. No, let's eat someplace else. Would you like to eat here? No, let's eat someplace else. You know, if they could just name a restaurant someplace else, we'd all be fine, you know, and save a little bit of time driving around. But anyway, so sometimes, ladies, you're a little bit indecisive on some of this stuff. Then sometimes when you ask the kids what do you want to do, it can turn into, well, she want to do that and he want to do this, and now we got World War III and we're supposed to be having family night. So you want to plan in advance, and you might want to survey your kids. Hey, what would you enjoy doing on a family night? Take those ideas and then file them away and plan them. You and your wife, on your weekly date, plan your family nights. What are we going to do? Talk about things like, what are we going to teach our kids? What do our kids need to know right now? What are they facing that we could be equipping them for? You want to make your family night strategic. You want to make your family nights profitable. You want to make your family nights relationally connecting. Work at it, invest in it, make it big. Guys, you've got to really guard, especially getting into this season with softball and baseball and bowling and you know whatever else that could pull your time in, ladies as well. Be careful that we're not down to like one night a week of family. You know, or man, I'm working swing and they're at school and so we're just 2 shifts passing night all the time. Okay, well, you've got to carve something out and say, we need family time. We need time where we are together looking at the white of our eyes, relationally connecting and nurturing these meaningful relationships. We can't just go through life and say, well, it didn't happen, too bad. No, we need family time. So there's got to be some family nights or maybe family mornings in some cases or whatever, but family time. Letter B, this could be accomplished through family vacations. Family vacations. And I want to encourage every family of our class to take a family vacation. I personally think this should be done at least once a year. Well, by the rule, we don't have any money. And the nice thing about America is you can vacation without a lot of money. You can get creative. You can, you know, make, my wife has talked about this, and we haven't successfully done it, but just make a vacation at home and you know, make a couple of days and make it fun or out of routine. Maybe it's going camping. Maybe it's amazing what you can do through Priceline and some of these other types of things. And some of you are so savvy at all that. But have a family vacation. Plan it. Get the time off. Make some days big with just the family. And make sure that what you're doing on vacation is being planned around making memories and spending time together. Make sure you're having some relational development and some nurturing happen. Let me mention this when we're talking about family vacations. Don't miss church on vacation. And that's about the response I thought I'd get. But let me tell you why. Here's the reason for that. You are raising children, okay? Children are impressionable. So here's what it says when we go on vacation and we don't go to church. Church is not important as vacation. Because when we're on vacation, we don't go to church. Now, I personally believe church is of the utmost importance. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but as you see the approaching, and so much the more. So God says, don't forsake going to church. And in fact, in this day and age when it's becoming more difficult to live for Christ, you should go more. You should go as often as you possibly can. So if I'm going to train my children that church is important, I'm telling you right now, one of the greatest things I can do is go to church on vacation. I'm amazed how many times we've walked into church on vacation and people, like people in our own church, good people, but they'll say something like, I can't believe you're in church on vacation. What are you guys doing here? You guys came to Sunday school on vacation? And that doesn't make us great Christians. It just means we're trying to drive something home in the minds of our kids. Church is important. We're not going to miss church for vacation. And there have been times where we've been up in the mountains and we had to maybe tune in to a live stream or something of that nature. And I understand sometimes you've got to plan around it, but you want to be sure to be in church on vacation. Amen? Amen. Okay, good. I'm glad we got that across. So family vacations, don't miss church. Make it meaningful. Be sure as you're planning the vacation to think about everyone involved in the family and make sure it's going to be something that they can enjoy. Often the deepest relationships can be developed during the simplest of activities. So again, it doesn't have to be grandeur. We don't have to get on a plane, fly to Florida, and go to Disney World for a week to have a great family vacation. We could jump in a car and go up in the mountains and sleep in a tent and just keep it simple and probably do more towards developing relationships and nurturing within the family home that we have. And so family nights, family vacations. Letter C, one-on-one weekly dates. One-on-one weekly dates. Now, before the Lord allowed me to become a father, I took a mentor in my life who would be in my cabinet of counsel, who I highly respect in the area of family. And I can remember to this day where I sat. I was at a Red Lobster. My wife was with me. He was across the table. And I was drilling him with questions on parenting because we were getting ready to become parents. Susanna was expecting Mariah some 9 years ago. And I was asking him all kinds of things. I to this day, I maybe respect him and my father on that plane in the area of family more than anyone else. And I was getting all kinds of advice from him. And then he stopped and he said, Brother Roy, I'm going to tell you something I started doing that has revolutionized the way I parent, and I want to encourage you to do it. And I perked up. He arrested my attention. I was ready, pen and paper in hand. Whatever he was going to tell me to do, I was going to do it. He said, Brother Roy, I have started spending one-on-one time with every one of my children every week. He was a father of five. He said, so every Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, I take my calendar out and I look at the week and I plan, when am I going to spend time with so-and-so? When am I going to spend time with so-and-so? And I plug in these slots. And sometimes it's 30 minutes, maybe 45, maybe an hour. But I plug in these slots and I make sure every week to have one-on-one time with each child to connect and invest with them. And I wrote that idea down, and I was greatly challenged by it. And in my own life as a dad, I have strived to practice and discipline my life to spend one-on-one time with every kid every week. Now, it's not easy. I have four kids. I have a lot that goes on in the week, and so do you. It's not easy, but it's possible. You have to plan. You have to be creative. I've made dates out of everything. I have made the most monotonous thing a fun date. Going to the barbershop is a date. Going to the bank is a date. Going to the car wash is a date. I mean, you can make a date out of anything if you work at it. Have you ever taken a three-year-old kid to the car wash? Now, you can do the cruise through where you get to open the thing and see the lava, you know, and they think that's the greatest thing in the world. And you can do that, and then you're teaching them how to vacuum, you know, and teaching them hard work. Or you can go to a car wash where they do it all for you, and you stand at the window and watch it, you know, and that's going to need too. But you can make anything a date. You can make anything a specific time together. Here's what I want to encourage you. You're going to express this loving support by scheduled time together, having family nights, having family vacation, having these one-on-one dates or father-son times with girls. Dates is certainly appropriate. But here's what I want to drive home. If our children see you and I neglect other things in life to spend time with them, they're going to realize how important they are to us. I'm afraid sometimes what our kids get is leftovers. We kind of fill in life with what we really want, and then whatever's left, that's what they get. But I'm telling you something, it's going to shout it from the mountaintops, your love and how valuable your children are to you when they see you neglecting something else to be with them. They know you could go be on that team. They know you could be a part of that group. They know you could put in more overtime. They know that you could take personal time and go do something you want to do. But you have carved out time, you've prioritized time, and you've set it aside for your relational development with them. I'm telling you, it's going to elevate how they feel about how you feel about them. Guys, when you take your girls on a date, you want to convince them of two things. Number one, that you love them, and number two, that they're special to you. Mariah, Lydia, and Annalene, every week of their life, there's a time where I sit down at a table or holding hands in a park or walking down the street or in a car or whatever, where I look at that girl and I say, Lydia, I love you. You are so special to me. Boy, God was so wonderful when he gave you to me. And I want you to know that I love you. And I want to tell you something. 52 times a year for 40 years, she's going to hear that before she meets some jerk. And I'm going to have an awful lot invested in that girl before that guy comes along. Now, what am I doing? I'm teaching her how she should be treated. Lord willing, she's not going to get stuck with some bum because she's had a dad who has treated her right her whole life, and she can pick it up like that if this guy's in it or if he's not, because she's had someone who's been in it her whole life, who has dedicated his life to her development, who has put some stuff aside, who has prioritize life and time and energy and resources and said, this is important. And if she can know what that is on the inside, it's going to help her to discern that someday in the future. Guys, when you take your sons out, you want to convince them that you love them, and you want to convince them they've got what it takes to make it. Every young man is looking to his dad to say, Dad, what do you think? Dad, do you approve? Dad, can I do this? And Dad, you say, Brother Gabe, this is going to be weird to tell my son I love him, and son, you can do it, man. I believe you got what it takes. I don't care how weird it is. I'm just telling you right now, it's going to help. It's going to work. Trust me. Try it. But that's what they need to hear. And so these one-on-one times, and schedule it. Make it happen and get creative. And I could, and I probably should, and maybe I will next week in an insert, giving you 50 or 100 ideas about these types of things. But develop these weekly one-on-one times together. It is paramount that there is family time together. Let me end with this. Let me give you this resource idea. This is a book, Let's Make a Memory. The subtitle is Great Ideas for Building Family Traditions and Togetherness. It's by Gloria Gaither and Shirley Dobson, and probably not everything in the book we would agree with 100%, so I'll give you that disclaimer. But there's going to be some ideas in there that might be helpful, and maybe jot that down to pick up this book this week or order it online or something like that, or maybe download it in Kindle or something. But I just want to encourage us, and we'll tie this all together next week, but we've got to communicate unconditional loving support. And we can do that by letting them know, hey, no matter what, I love you. But we can do that by scheduling time together. When's your family night? And maybe this week your assignment is identify your family night. What are you going to accomplish? What are you going to do? Redeem the time. Make the most of it. When's your family vacation? Man, summer's coming. And maybe you've already had it. Maybe it's coming. But when's it going to be? How are you going to do it? What church is nearby? Where are you going to vacation? But plan family night. Plan family vacation. Then your one-on-one time. You've got one child, two, three, four, five, six, seven, whatever. When is your time? And you say, Mom, I'm at home, and when do I do this? And carving time, hey, why don't you help me get this project done and help me do this? But having one-on-one time with those kids, looking at them in the eye, spending time with them, I'm telling you, it's going to force you to carve some other stuff out of your schedule, and I know that. But you're going to look back after a couple weeks and say, this is the best thing I've ever done because I'm investing in the relationships that matter most. And I'm investing in such a way, it's producing incredible dividends. There's something about taking a child and spending time with them that just puts their heart where it should be. There's just something about it. Say, Brother Gabe, what's it like? It's like when you and I spend time with God. There's something about when you and I spend time with our Heavenly Father that everything's okay. The day's better. Why? Because we just had some time with our Heavenly Father today. And just like that puts you and I on the straight and narrow and helps us get through the day and all of that, when there's time with Dad, when there's time with Mom, when there's that relational connection and nurturing, it just makes everything else better. Let's communicate that loving support. And let's have scheduled time together. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for this time together in your word today. And Lord, a very practical lesson today, just some ideas really. But Lord, I pray that we will listen. I pray that we will evaluate our own lives and home and relationships. And then that we will implement and apply these things that might help us. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. Thanks for being here today. You are dismissed.